I'm a working man. I gotta pay my bills.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
Oh, look at me! The millionaire who goes to see doctors!
You should just smile and follow me!
You filthy animal.
What is this, a parade?
The game is cold, but it's crazy.
And don't you ever forget, you're free to do what we tell you.
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
The only thing I think of when I think of my kids growing up in this country, if they say, Dad, what do we have left that's American-owned? And I say, son, I mean, there's not much to choose from, but that's what we have Pabst Blue Ribbon for.
Child, please.
Pass the Gravy, episode number 45. It's your pals Alex, Cole, and Kurt back at it again. How's it going, gang?
Good.
Do you like that I didn't direct the question to anybody in general, so you're both kind of like talking over each other?
Yeah. I'm good. A lot less grouchy today.
You were pretty grouchy and bitchy in the last one.
Well, it's because it was rainy.
He was on his period.
Rainy. It was rainy. That's why.
His man's
it was rainy. Cycle.
Yeah.
I'm doing slow, guys. Not doing great, not doing bad. Somewhere in the middle.
In the middle? Okay, so you're just very... You're a nice
plain Jane.
Medium. Just a plain Jane.
Basic bitch.
Well, Curtis, okay. Are you having some headphone issues, it looks like?
Yeah, but only my right one's working. It's driving me fucking crazy.
Wow. You know, Cole's acting awfully calm for a day that...
Only the right side. He has no idea.
Yeah.
You know, he thinks he's clean sailing right now. He thinks he's made it through the storm and that there are no more loopholes or hoops to jump through to be a part of this...
And to clarify for all the listeners here, we were, we thought he was an employee. We sent it up to corporate, and apparently some of the paperwork was yet to be signed. And he had a probationary period of however many days, and we don't remember the exact amount of days, but they're not quite up yet. And it extended to this episode, so we were like, we got to have a final interview. Okay. What better way to do an interview than on the air, right?
Yeah, I suppose so. I'm a little... more disgruntled, I guess, now.
Disgruntled? Well, that's a horrible start to an interview.
Oh, yeah.
Disgruntled, possible, and employee.
I'm a little perplexed, confused.
What do you mean? Why would you be confused?
Well, I just don't
You thought this
where
was a job,
is
and,
coming from.
Why? You don't understand where it's coming from.
I mean, whatever, man. You know, I'm just doing me. I'm just chilling.
Curtis, why don't you start us off with, like... Which is it's a simple, quick.
So wait, start off. Wait,
5-6 question interview process.
Oh, asking me questions?
Yeah.
What are these questions going to be pertaining to?
Obviously, something that we're going to see.
They're just how your personality is, and just see how you can work with other people. Because you understand, in this business, you have to work with other people. Yeah. You have to learn how to share. You have to play well with others.
People person. You got to be a people person.
Okay. That's
like I know some of these may seem, a little forward and maybe offensive and judgmental, but just know that they may not be meant that way.
Oh, like it's not just directed.
It may not be.
It's not just supposed to be directed towards me specifically. It's more of like a...
It may seem like it is, but we're not...
It's like a standardized...
We're not confirming or denying
okay,
that it is.
Okay, so this is standardized. This is in no way, shape, or form directed.
All right, well, why don't we start it off, Kurt?
Wait, I don't get to ask any more questions?
No, you don't get to ask any questions because you're being interviewed.
Oh.
The gun's pointed in your direction.
Whoa, I thought this wasn't...
We're starting.
Yeah.
Okay. No questioning the interviewer.
Okay.
Please shut your mouth.
Okay.
Sir, please.
Okay, go.
Please refrain from speaking. Okay. So, first question number one. Have you ever been in love with anyone besides yourself?
Are you calling me a narcissist?
I'm just reading what the test is in front of me.
I know, it seems like you may be, but that's not necessarily what
it
means.
It seems like it's directed towards me, because that's not the first time I've been called a narcissist.
Well, that's a personal problem right there.
Okay, yes, I have.
And can you please elaborate?
What? You didn't let me finish. Yes, I have been in love.
All right, now elaborate.
Elaborate.
Okay. Do you want me to tell you, the real story?
Obviously. Because this is real life.
Okay. Okay, so I used to work for a clothing store. And I was folding clothes one day, just on a, it was really about this time on like a Tuesday afternoon, and I looked up and I saw the prettiest girl to this day I've ever seen in my entire life. And
what was her name?
Her name's Haley.
Haley.
Her name is still Haley, and she is a real person, and this is completely
Still a girl.
She's still a girl, and she captured my heart from the first day I ever saw her. And recently went out to dinner with her over the summer.
Was she a coworker of yours?
No, she was a customer that came into the
store. Ah, so you don't dip in the company pool.
No, I don't dip I did not
company ink.
Pen in the company ink. Kurt. Yeah, I fell madly in love with this girl, and it's the only girl I've ever loved. And that is a 100% honest answer.
Nice.
Yeah. It's hard to let go. So this is sad. This is supposed to be funny.
Yeah, now you're just really opened up.
I really
do. All right, Alex, do you have a question? I got question number two ready to go.
Oh, here you go, buddy.
Okay.
Yeah, you got the sheet.
So,
Kurt's going to be the moderator.
I got it in the fax this morning. Okay, so we got Rosetta Stone, Sally Mae, or Paula Deen. You got to fuck one, marry one, kill one, go.
Ooh. Wait. Okay, hold on. Let me. This is an easy one.
First off, hold on.
Rosetta Stone.
Is Rosetta Stone a language learning software?
Yeah.
No, it's a woman.
Well, I'm going to.
That knew many languages.
I'm going to kill Sally Mae.
Okay.
I'm going to fuck Rosetta Stone, and I'm going to, marry Paula Deen? Is that what it is?
So you like racism.
That's,
you would marry up racism.
You're a fan of prejudice.
That's not going to look good.
That want to hurt you a little bit.
That has nothing to do with my preference of race.
It doesn't matter.
But why would you fuck Rosetta Stone and marry Paula Deen when you could fuck Paula Deen and marry Rosetta Stone and be a learned man?
Well, I was thinking I wanted to...
A man of a cultured man.
You know, you know what we have here is a classic case of thinking with your dick and not with your brain right there.
I think that he's right.
He's into the BBWs.
I don't... Yeah. I've been
big bodied woman.
Paula Deen just seems like she has a lot of love to give, and I could...
Love, junk.
Are you calling her fat? There's more prejudice right there.
I could stand to put on.
You're only hurting yourself at this point.
Her dishes that she cooks are known to be decadent.
That's a big word.
It's a Stephen A. Smith word. Okay, what else you got?
How often do you stick your dick in crazy?
What?
A very important.
I'm just reading off the standardized sheet.
We didn't write.
Wait, just
questions.
Say it again. Could you repeat the question, please?
How often do you stick your dick in crazy?
In crazy glue?
No, crazy women. Sorry, I didn't think.
Oh,
that's a minus since you didn't get the reference.
In gotta be crazy? Cultured.
You got to understand some slang, and this is going against you.
How often? How many times this month?
How often in your life?
Every time that I've had sexual relations with a girl, she has been crazy.
Okay.
No, is she a crazy, not crazy just during the act, but crazy like...
No, I mean crazy. But that's
crazy, like you have to hide all the knives in your house, crazy.
No, not that crazy.
You just have a suspicion.
No, but every guy is going to say that that's just a very standardized thing for a guy to say about a girl. Oh, she's crazy, so we broke up. That's not very...
Okay.
So, I get what you're saying, but that's a very subjective term. There's a spectrum to the matter. So, there's
follow-up question. Okay. What is the craziest thing you put your dick in?
Oh, God. My dick? My dick?
An inanimate object or a woman?
Probably a pillow. I don't know.
You fucked it.
I don't know. That's just the first thing that popped in my head was, people cutting holes in pillows.
A toaster.
Yeah, I put my dick in
tried to fuck a toaster once.
Was it on? Was it on?
The pillow or the toaster?
The toaster.
You can't turn a pillow on. I mean,
if it's an electric toaster. Or if it's an electric
pillow. Are you just stalling?
No, I'm not stalling. No, I've never stuck my dick
in a toaster. All right, one final interview question, and this is going to be sent off to HQ.
I've never stuck my dick in a toaster.
HR.
HR. Well, at HQ. HR, HQ, if I may.
Never stuck my dick in a toaster.
He's lying.
Allegedly, I've never stuck my dick in a toaster. Okay, let's hear it. Come on, quit stalling now, interviewer.
Last one, buddy.
Is it a?
I thought you had the sheet in front of you.
No, I didn't get.
Come
faxed.
On, come on.
Um, Do you have an animal?
Yes.
Has your animal ever accidentally licked your...
No. No, that's...
Your foot?
No.
Your leg? No, never?
No.
What kind of animal do you have?
I have a dog.
It's never licked you? Do you beat it and it just like stays away from you?
Oh, well, I get what you're implying. You're implying, has it ever licked my genitals?
No, I said your leg.
You're putting words in his mouth right there, buddy. That's making me think if you're putting anything else in anybody else's mouth.
I've come here very congenial today.
Miss Congeniality, right?
No, my dog has licked me, but not in my genitals.
I'm going to write a note down here.
Dog uses, has licked him.
I'm writing a note down on this interview. Uses big words to put down others.
Thank you.
All right, send that off to HR.
It's not a compliment.
We're sending that one out to HR. Well, how did I do?
I don't know. We'll find out.
Have to
later.
Wait till next week.
You're gonna have to sweat it out.
Till next.
It's time. Actually a 6-week process.
Oh, so we won't be on. We'll be at episode 51.
Maybe
that'll be 2015.
It might be.
Shit.
Who knows? No one does.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, man.
Well,
I appreciate the time. And,
let's
talk
about. You know, like we were talking
about.
Well,
I was trying to.
Well, you want to stay and do the podcast?
Well, I was just trying to be nice to the interviewer.
Well, it's over.
Oh, okay.
So you still need for formalities.
Okay. Oh, okay. Thanks.
I just let down the facade.
Okay.
We'll just go. All right.
Now,
We were talking about things you were interested in the interview. This is something you're probably interested in as well, but not so much for the interview.
Oh.
And that is the fact that, did you know, guys, come on, did you know that there are seals having sex with penguins?
Yeah, I did know that, actually, and I'm very amused by that fact.
Amused or aroused?
Amused.
I think
those two words get they get mixed up a lot.
Yeah, no, I think he may have meant aroused.
No, I was definitely amused by it.
I heard his voice go up whenever he said penguin.
No, I was
Alex's voice.
No, Cole.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, whatever. Yeah, that was cool.
Old Cassius Clay over there.
Yeah, I've heard that one before. Yeah, no, penguins, man, they're getting sexually assaulted.
They're getting, like raped basically by these seals.
Yeah,
they said in one instance one of them ate the penguin,
but the
other ones let him go.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
So I guess you get to have your cake and eat it too in some instances if you're a seal.
This has been reportedly going on since 2006. They said they saw that happen.
Reportedly,
a fur seal. A fur seal attempting to copulate with a king penguin on Marion Island, a sub-Antarctic island that is home to both species.
It's one of my favorite sub-Antarctic islands.
I couldn't agree more. It's a great sub-Antarctic
island. And that, my folks, my friends, is how you turn a king into a queen.
Yeah, I guess so. They said that they published details of the incident and speculated that the sex act at the time may have just been the behavior of a frustrated, sexually inexperienced seal, or an aggressive predatory act, or a playful one that turned sexual.
What do you think happened, like, after the first time it happened? Like, gee, we could just do this all the time?
You mean they won't fight back because they're too small?
And if we want a snack after, we can just eat them while they lay there sad?
Yeah, I mean, there's detailed videos of it. I didn't watch them several times. Well, yeah, I knew you said you're too disturbed to watch it. I found it hilarious. I'm sorry. I found it hilarious. I mean,
you think rape is funny?
Oh, well, maybe
you animal.
Well,
cannibalism.
Imagine. Well, it's always male seals. So imagine if a penguin gave birth to a mix of that.
I
want that to happen.
A sanguine.
Yeah, that'd be a great species. Like, look, you know those BuzzFeed lists that always. You know those BuzzFeed lists that always talk about, like, 36 cute baby animals? Imagine.
Yes.
And seals or penguins are always on those lists. Imagine what that would look like. That would be number one.
It's a baby sanguine!
It would quote-unquote break the internet.
Don't say that.
Does it sing? No, it doesn't. It's an animal.
I've heard the term break the internet before.
Break the internet needs to stop. That's an overused buzzword.
Oh, that's a good one, though. Anyway, yeah, penguins are... I mean, but what do you guys think? Like, on a serious note, do you think that it's like a territorial thing, or do you think it's purely
sexual frustration?
I think it's sexual frustration and inexperience.
They're like the nine guys that go out to the bar and they don't get laid.
I mean, dude,
just headed home and they.
But they find a pack of penguins.
Yeah, just a pack of penguins out there.
Oh, look at this pack of penguins over here. Let's rape them.
And these poor little
And the parents like, "Hey guys, what's up? Oh no, what's happening?"
No, this is horrible.
I just picture like the seals like walking around like carrying 40s, and like the penguins are like walking around with, like smearing off ices, and they like meet down a dark alley.
Oh, you saw the video, like... but can you give us your best impression of a penguin being raped?
No, let's not do that.
No,
Kurt has a pretty good one.
No, I don't.
What would it sound like?
Stop!
Stop! I'm a penguin. You're raping.
Stop! Please. As long as you don't eat me afterwards, I'm okay with this. Well,
penguins mate for life.
Maybe that's what. Maybe
so. That's maybe. Really like they're really just like, "Hey, I'm married.
I am a married man, sir."
Maybe they have an agreement. Be like, "All right, we'll fuck you, but not eat you. Like, what? But if you don't let us fuck you, then we're just gonna eat you." And like, "Oh, okay, I can deal with this for a little bit."
Leopard seals are notorious for eating penguins.
I didn't know that leopard seals were a thing.
They are a thing. But yeah, I mean...
Leopard, half seal?
Half leopard, half seal, all raping machine.
Sounds just dangerous.
It's dangerous.
Half leopard, half seal, 100% dangerous.
Yeah, 100% rapey. Yeah, speaking of rape... right?
Ah, well, yeah, I guess it fits right into it. What do you think about Bill Cosby?
Hey-o! You know we had to go there. Yeah. Well, read us the story. Tell us the story.
Well, apparently all these bitches have been saying he's been raping them, you know? Like, but he's not even given it a response, as he said that decade-old defamed accusations are basically not worth it.
All these bitches and all these hoes have been raping him. Is that what you're saying?
All these bitches are like, "We've been raped!" Well, and I mean, it's looking like sometimes when there's smoke, there's fire. They've been quite a batch of bitches.
It's deeper than just some women are coming out saying that Bill Cosby raped them.
And I was watching a Howard Stern interview or Entertainment Tonight interview. This one lady, the most recent one that came out, said she just seemed like she was kind of like playing on the former stories that she had heard. She was just like, "Yeah, he basically did what he did to everyone else."
Like she was just kind of going by what other people have said, not by her own research / experience.
I don't know. I think, like, if you're that scarred by it and it's that bad, and I don't, this is horrible, and so I'm probably not, I'm just going to shut up for it. I feel like if something's that bad, like, why wouldn't you want to tell someone? Like, why wouldn't you want to seek help and get justice as fast as you can?
Well, it's because it's Bill Cosby.
Right.
Bill Cosby does not curse. Let alone rape people.
He is the spokesperson for Jell-O.
Kids say the darndest things. And multicolored sweaters.
Yes, he is.
What is that show, Kids Say the Darndest Things? It's just him asking kids questions and then just being cute. That's what the whole show is.
Yeah, but
Over and over. You know what? I watch a shit ton of that.
They do say the darndest things.
Let's stick to the task at hand. Should Bill Cosby be prosecuted?
He's past the statute of limitations, though, isn't he?
I have no clue. I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah, I don't think he can. I think people are just trying to defame him right now. He had that one back a while ago, and then he like paid off the lady, and she won't say anything about it now. Janice Dickinson was the name.
Janice Dickinson, yeah, she used to be on
the lady
VH1.
Said she was raped
But here's my deal. And
she looks like she's had some work done.
Well, she was on, she was on like Celebrity Rehab. I think she was a big VH1 star.
Yeah, she was saying like when she was out of rehab, he was like giving her a pill and a glass of wine. And that, like, then she remembered him like getting on top of her.
Oh my God.
And all of that. And they were like, "Did you fight it off?" She's like, "I don't remember fighting it off." And it's like, "Well, is that because you were drugged or because you were willingly participating in it?"
So this was like within the past 10 years?
I don't remember. Man, I'm the worst person ever to tell you like a news story.
Well, you're the news guy.
Sort of.
You're the one. You always present the panel of discussion.
Set the table. We just come to dinner to eat.
I pass the gravy. You guys just, you know, get it.
You're making the gravy. We're passing it along.
Yeah.
But with Bill Cosby, the thing is with this is you don't know if it's... Because, I mean, there's been a lot of... It seems like the popular thing to do to throw allegations out that a celebrity has done something, you know, reprehensible. Reprehensible. I don't know why I couldn't get that word out. And so it just seems very convenient to me. It just seems like, oh, this is just the next person. So for me, I've kind of become numb to the fact that, oh, okay, Bill Cosby raped a girl. Now his image is stained forever, whatever, moving on. I don't care. That's kind of
well,
how
it sucks for Bill Cosby, though.
It does suck for Bill Cosby. And here's the deal. It kind of seems like one of those things, like, why would you want it to come out, like, just, like, let it be dealt with internally and just let the idea.
But he's
77.
Why has he got to deal with it now instead of when
just like Woody Allen too? It's like God dang. It's like, you know, I'm not saying that just because that 20 years have gone by that his rape is any less important, you know, or the allegations are any less important. But damn, it just kind of seems like just kick him while he's down. Like you're saying it now because he's old, and it's just kind. It just seems very convenient to me. Is all. It's still interesting, and I'm curious to see how it unfolds, but, you know, that's it.
But if a guy gave you a pill, though, like she said, like, why would you just be like, what is this?
Maybe it was an aspirin.
I mean, there's probably lots of mitigating factors in there.
Yeah. I don't have the full story, and I don't think anybody's ever going to know what happened there besides them.
Yeah, it's like that podcast Serial.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you got
it. No, I'm not either.
Well, it's beating us right now in the iTunes charts. It's number one.
A lot of podcasts are beating us in the iTunes charts.
Yeah.
Like all of them.
Pretty much every other podcast, yeah.
It's number one on the iTunes. It's an incredible podcast, but anyway.
Thanks for plugging that.
Hey, it's more of a recommendation. I guess that is still a plug. Anyway.
They don't plug us on theirs, so why should they get free press?
No, they don't. They don't plug anybody except themselves.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Well, moving on to another public figure.
Okay.
He's got some good news for Charles Manson. It looks like I hear wedding bells in his future.
Everybody's favorite serial killer,
hey!
Charles Manson.
Yeah, he's marrying like a 20-something-year-old.
26-year-old hottie ripe for the picking.
Yeah, I guess. First off, he can't have conjugal visits. So
he cannot have conjugal visits?
They can't bang.
So that's what a conjugal visit is, that you can touch.
Sure, you can, like, hug, I think, in some of them. But you can't, like,
so he'll
go
never
into
be
a
able
trailer
to have
just
sex with this girl.
Apparently. Woman. He's not up for parole until 2027. Assuming we aren't all crazy, he probably is not going to get parole.
No.
Just guessing.
No.
Just guessing. But So I was like, why would you marry him? That's fucking weird. She's like trying to get him exonerated, which is also something that's probably never going to happen.
Yeah. Well, how did they meet? Is she just like a fan of Helter Skelter?
She's just been like obsessively like following him, like really into him, read his books and shit like that. And so she said that there's things that next of kin have access to that regular people don't. So she gets like somewhat more access into his files and stuff like that, I guess, to help him get exonerated. He's got a fantastic little Nazi tattoo, like, right in between his eyes.
Yeah, I was
so
just
obviously
about
he's
to
adjusting
say,
to prison.
Yeah, what's crazy about, to me, like, he's such a notorious figure. He's surprisingly not scary looking at all.
He looks fucking terrifying to me.
Yes, he does.
Really?
Yeah.
Trust me, I'm a scaredy cat, for sure. This picture to me is not very scary if you take away the Nazi or the swastika.
The swastika is pretty fucking, like, nerve-wracking. You like that,
yeah? Oh, yeah.
Usually when someone has a swastika between their eyes, I tend to be a little cautious around
I avoid
them.
You look at this
picture. I go, this guy might be a Nazi.
This picture frame from 1970, he kind of just looks like a hipster, in my opinion.
He looks like a nice guy.
He's not a nice guy.
He wasn't.
He killed
he
Sharon
He wasn't
Tate.
A nice guy.
Didn't he not kill anyone, but he talked to people in the
Yeah, he basically was the ringleader of it and just was, like, ordering them to do it. And like,
you
yeah!
killed us.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Charles
Manson. So there's that. There's that, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, it said the wedding would have happened a lot earlier if he did not have, quote-unquote, some situations at the prison. Who knows what those situations could have been?
I want to know.
Speculating. It's all about speculation. That's what the news is all about. Speculation and discussing and analyzing.
Is it?
I mean, I think so. I mean, that's what we're doing. At least that's what I hope we're doing. I hope we're not just like rattling off stories just for the sake of it.
I think we're just rattling off stories sometimes.
Okay. Okay. Well, what else do we have? I mean, is there anything else you guys like to add?
Well, I've got great news, and that is the fact that Russians are not, in fact, buying Pabst Blue Ribbon. We all, I know, found out that they were.
Okay.
About a month ago.
Okay.
Because a Russian is buying them.
Like,
or he is Russian, but he is not owning them himself. He was part of Oasis Brewing Company, that is a Russian-based brewing company that was interested in buying them, but they didn't. And so now San Francisco group that he's part of purchased it. So it's really owned by a San Francisco-based group that includes a Russian buyer.
Okay. So
technically, it's still American, still made in the U.S. of A., still sold in the U.S.
of A. I love Pabst Blue Ribbon.
God bless America.
God bless Pabst Blue Ribbon.
God bless.
That really actually is good news. That actually would have been really kind of crippling if a Russian brewery would have bought.
There were hipsters that were upset about it.
And, I mean, well, apparently were you upset about it?
I mean,
like, do you like Pabst Blue Ribbon aside from the branding, the Pabst Blue Ribbon branding?
I'm a fan of Pabst Blue Ribbon.
I think it's fantastic. Always. There was a bar I used to go to.
It's very shitty cheap beer, but it's the best cheap shitty beer you can get.
There was a bar I used to go to.
That's what they should say.
And it was when I was 21 and I don't remember where I was living, but you could get a shot of Rumplemintz and a tall boy Pabst Blue Ribbon for $5.
Ooh.
That's actually a great deal.
Yeah.
I thought it was fantastic.
We went somewhere in Austin and White Trash Wednesday, was it? What it was called?
Yeah.
You could get dollar Pabst Blue Ribbons, and we had like 17 of them.
Hell yeah, man. That's what's up.
Hers original.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sure that you sell a lot of Pabst Blue Ribbons in Austin, Kurt.
Yeah, the hipsters love it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is good.
It's their milk.
It's their milk. Milk is for babies. That's a Pumping Iron reference, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I haven't seen it.
Have not seen that one.
Wait, you guys haven't seen that movie? Kurt's a beefcake. Alex is...
Beefcake sounds
weird.
Sexual.
Huh?
Yeah.
Beefcake sounds sexual.
I mean, it just all depends on how you construe it.
Well, I'm construing that it was a
You called me a beefcake.
It was more like...
A man called a man a beefcake.
It was more kind of like a ha-ha kind of thing.
I know, as I'm just what defines
beefcake?
Well, I mean, if you want me to...
Like, it's like a cake made out of beef.
I mean, if you want me to just be literal with it, I mean...
Well, what would somebody that's a beefcake be?
Just like somebody who like works out and shit like that, and is like kind of like a bro and like a jock and stuff like that.
You think Curtis is a bro?
I mean, yeah, he's kind of a bro.
How? Elaborate.
Yeah.
I'm not going
to...
What judgment is so pointless?
Now. Turn that sentence into a paragraph.
Kurt is a... What do you mean he's a bro? Okay. Use ironically to describe somebody... Well, okay, never mind. This is kind of wrong.
Oh, so
describe somebody extremely overweight.
Popularized by an early episode of South Park in which Carmen drinks weight gain formula and gets really huge.
Curtis.
And then it says somebody ripped and muscular, usually a male.
So it means either fat or muscular? That's like two completely opposite
things. So they're oxymoron. It's an oxymoron in itself.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hmm.
I mean, I guess. I mean, that's just two different definitions from Urban Dictionary, I guess.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I don't really see the point of delving into the
story. Well, I'm still stoked. I'm still stoked that PBR is American owned.
Well, yeah, that's the point.
We can rest happy, everybody. Fuck the Russians. They were trying to move Pabst Blue Ribbon, like, they were trying to bring it to Russia and start selling it in Russia. And apparently with the whole Ukraine thing, we have, like, not an embargo, but we tax really heavily going to Russia.
A tariff!
There we go.
Oh, there we go. There's the 8th grade history term coming out.
Hey, well, don't belittle my words.
I finished it.
I don't even think I would have been able to. I don't remember that word, so good for you.
But apparently Russia's not big fans of us either, so they were kind of like, yeah, we don't really want American shit over here.
Wait,
yeah.
What?
All right, moving on. We're actually about to take...
Talk about the elephant.
Oh, yeah, we forgot to talk about
it. Why don't we save that for after the break?
No, we can talk about it now.
Okay.
And then we can just do our segments when we get back.
Okay.
There's a sexually excited elephant in Bangkok, Thailand.
No pun intended or pun intended.
It got a little excited and trampled its handler.
Yep.
I don't know what he was trying to do to the handler, but he ran over it and crushed him to death, and then had two tourists on its back and ran off about a mile and a half. So yeah, I don't know. I just
a mile and a half.
Three kilometers.
But my favorite thing from the whole story was that it was called, it said that it was in a state of must, and that's being like horny. So like instead of being like, oh man, I'm really horny, just be like, I am so must right now.
Where did he go? Did someone see where he went? What did he do?
He ran off and they caught him a mile and a half.
What is he doing?
Just running. Hanging out, being an elephant. I don't know.
Looking for some vajayjay. Or maybe like a car window.
Looking for some poontang. A car window.
Dude, they just don't know how to channel their sexual energy, man. Get off of him a little bit. I mean, you know, true, his sexual energy caused murder. Death. Death to a handler and a 9-year-old
girl. What if it was Chelsea Handler and that was why it said death to Handler?
Oh.
Handler, who was the elephant's handler? Too many handlers in one sentence.
That'd be a funny job for her to have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. She'd have to take a big pay cut to do that, probably.
Probably so.
She'd probably get paid with just food for that day.
Absolutely.
Okay, why don't we take a break, since we're pretty much done with stories, and we will come back and tell you what's not cool and answer your questions. You fellas are listening to Pass the Gravy.
Pass the gravy, bitches, and we're back and we're jumping into one of my favorite segments of this podcast. Not cool. Alex, what is your not cool?
Oh, well, why don't we once again explain, like we do every week, in case you're new to this. Not cool is basically, you know, something that in day-to-day life that you'd come across. You'd be like, hey, dude, that's not cool. Don't do that. And just, like, it doesn't have to be a big thing. It's just something that everybody, maybe a social faux pas or whatever that word is that I'm looking for. But yeah. Yeah, so why don't I start off, and I'll say mine, and that is people that constantly tell you that they are gluten-free and tell you that, oh, does that have gluten in it? If it has gluten in it, I can't hear it. It's like, I don't give a shit about your diet. You know? Like, have you ever been around somebody that constantly...
You're at a hot dog stand.
Right? And it's like, is it gluten-free? But it's always, like, at the most... Or, like, people that... Hey, look, I don't eat anything with gluten in it. Like, I work at a catering company on the side, and sometimes it's like, does that have gluten in it? It's like, I don't fucking know. It's ice cream. Go look it up. Like, I'm not in charge of this. I'm not, like, your gluten diet expert guy that's supposed to, like... keep you up to date on what does and doesn't have shit in it. Like, people are responsible for that.
You are aware that some people have gluten allergies, right?
Right, right, but like...
But not most.
But it is annoying.
Well, no, I mean, if you're gluten-free and you're fine, like, that's cool. That's like a thing. Like, if you're a vegetarian, I'm cool with it. But like, I'm sick and tired of vegetarians also, like, being like, well, you know what meat is. You know what they do to those animals. And it's like, shut the fuck up. Quit trying to push your beliefs on me. Like
PETA.
Quit trying to, like, go out of your way to be like, is that gluten-free? You know, I'm gluten-free because it makes me better. And if I don't know, I'm gluten-free.
You're saying, you're saying that it kind of comes from a perspective of, like
if you're overly, like, if you want to just share it, like, if part of your story is that you're gluten-free,
right,
then that's too much.
Yeah. But if we were, like, standing in line and be like, oh, yeah, man, sorry, man,
can I get the gluten-free, whatever?
The gluten-free one.
Then, like, I'd be like, okay, that's fine. I wouldn't be like, oh, you pussy, because you got gluten-free.
It just seems like a trend thing. The thing is, like, you didn't hear about...
Well, who knew what gluten was?
You didn't hear about... I don't even... I still...
What is it?
What is it? It's just like this...
Like bread.
It's just, no, it's like this intangible kind of, like, thing. Like, what if someone, like, have, like, a gluten factory, and it's, like, a big, like, vats of gluten... Like, in a, you know, in, like, some warehouse or
but
whatever.
But, like, 5 years ago, nobody knew what
burger.
Gluten fucking was. So, like, you didn't have people that were gluten-free, I don't think.
No, it's kind of like one of those things where, like, people now are, like, really into, like, flaxseed and, like, goji berries.
You know what it is? It's those darn CrossFit people.
It is those damn CrossFit people. It.
Look, I'm American, and I'm focusing on playing real sports, not trying to be the best at exercising.
No, but to be honest, being gluten-free makes you feel so much better. I'm pretty gluten free, not because I just don't enjoy eating bread. I just eat corn tortillas. Whenever I eat tortillas, I think they're better, and just meats and eggs and vegetables. Just because I don't know, it makes you feel, huh?
And dog food. You also eat dog food.
I don't, but my dog food is gluten free.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Well, it's because that it's itchy on the gluten itches their skin. It's very sensitive on their skin. It's very sensitive.
Oh. Yeah, I like my dog to be nice and tight, have a nice coat. So when people see her, she doesn't look like a stray.
Well, our viewers, our listeners, can't.
We don't have viewers.
Yeah, we don't have any viewers. Our listeners can't see your dog, and I've actually never even seen your dog. So
maybe it's not real. Maybe it's maybe I got a beautiful mind thing going on over here.
Oh shoot, man!
All right, why don't we move on to Cole's? Cole's not cool for the week.
My not cool for the week is face braggers, and
what is that?
A face bragger is somebody who does a quote-unquote humble brag on Facebook. And what a humble brag is...
Can I guess what it is real fast?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. Please do. Right.
Saw a man on the side of the road today that needed $5, and I found $5 on the street, so I gave it to him. It's good to give back sometimes.
We should all give back sometimes. Yeah, or something like, you know, you always see people talking about, like, oh, you know, I'm so pleased to announce, and I'm not saying I'm not guilty of this, but it is just really annoying. So pleased to announce that starting this week, I will be working for Chase Bank in Houston, Texas, and I'm going to accept this position, and I love all the people that got me here and helped me get this way, and I'm so blessed.
And tag 65 people in it.
Yeah, or something like that. One of those things. But the thing with Facebook is, and how it differs from like Twitter and every other social media aspect, is it's everybody's greatest hits. And what I mean by their greatest hits is you're not going to see their biggest failures. Everybody on Facebook is going to automatically...
Some people, though, you do.
Yeah, some people want the,
like,
want the
people
attention.
People that get, like, the break up or, like, get divorced and, like, all you see is just, like those, like, memes or whatever. And it's like, my ex never did anything for me. And you're like, what the hell? Like, quit trying to tell everybody how horrible this guy was.
Yeah, absolutely. But the thing is with that is, like, for me, I'm very... closed off with my Facebook. Like, I mean, I post stuff.
I only self-promote, though.
Like, I absolutely do self-promotion. And so, I mean, that kind of falls into even me being kind of a hypocrite with not being not cool. But face braggers. And when people who just don't do it very well, at least try to cloak it in some way.
The people that are always, like, acting like that they're, oh, I'm better than everybody else because I give to people that need it. And it's like, yeah, well, maybe that guy was a meth addict and he was going to go buy drugs.
You know who the worst...
he gave him to, so...
The worst people about this are CrossFitters. People who do CrossFit.
Oh, because they always have to fucking post, like, did 75 burpees. It feels good to be healthy.
Yeah, I just don't really like... don't get me wrong,
what
like...
What is a burpee, first off, Curtis, do you know what a burpee is?
I know what a burpee is.
What is it?
Yes.
Okay, let's see.
Curtis,
I
know that you used to do not CrossFit, but CrossFit.
You're standing up, you drop down to your hands and knees, and then you... It's like a squat thrust. And then you put your hands
down.
Why do
they call
them
burpees?
And then you... squat and then you throw your hands up.
You
is that right?
You do it.
Yeah, it's like you start standing up, then you crouch down. Uh-huh. You have your feet and hands on the ground. Then you jump your feet back into a push-up position.
Yep.
And then do the reverse of that and jump at the end.
That's a burpee. So anyway, what my point was is I was saying, like,
it doesn't sound like a lot of burping is involved.
No, but maybe it's because it makes you puke. I don't know, but I'm all about staying in shape and eating healthy and all that stuff, and I know Kurt is as well, but I don't understand why we have to
have... Was that a subtle jab at Alex?
No,
I don't give a shit about what I eat.
Alex is also just like...
I can tell.
It's not, no, how can you not tell? He's like such an average, like, thin guy. Like,
all right. He looks like about my body type.
Yeah, well...
Oh, let's keep going.
Anyway, can I make my damn point, please?
It looks like Jesus when he first had his first beer.
I don't understand.
It didn't stop. Okay. I'm just kidding.
Just keep interrupting him the whole time. Continue, Cole.
I don't understand why. God, man, this is terrible. Like, I don't understand why that now that we think that, like, just because a person is in shape or something like that, that's like a measuring cup or like a stick or like... To say that their quality of life is better because they are, quote-unquote, in shape. But, and that's a very, like... And what I mean, why I keep saying quote-unquote is because it's very, like, subjective, like...
Well, how many times have you heard, like, oh, this guy was just running for a jog. He was 45, boom, heart attack, dead. And it's like, well, there's fat asses that are 55 that don't run ever.
I mean, I'm all about staying in shape and keeping... But, like, just because that you are in shape doesn't mean that you're living a better quality of life.
Some people like just chilling and not doing anything ever.
Yeah, I mean, let them do it. I don't care. But, I mean, if you see somebody that's
out
there...
I'm just
saving
up, like, to get liposuction when I get...
I mean, if you're seeing someone out there who's trying to better themselves, that's great. You know?
Cole, or Kurt, what is yours?
Mine is people who don't put their new phones in the case. It makes me cringe every time I see someone, like, with a new phone, like, say an iPhone. They're so fucking fragile. Like, spend, like, $30 to get a fucking case.
My girlfriend
does. It really pisses me off. They're like, oh!
Used to never have her phone in a case.
Oh, my God.
I would
God.
Always just be like, what if it falls out of the car? You're fucked. You have to
what if you just drop it 3 inches on the table and
it
breaks?
Falls on, like,
that
the corner?
Happens.
And just...
Yeah. Just, like, I don't understand it. Like, it makes me cringe every time I see someone, like, on their phone without, like, any sort of protective case or anything. It's super horrible, especially if you take it outside. Or, like, people who, like, are at the gym with it and just, like, no case. It makes no sense. Just, like, one little tap and it's done. You're done, so you end up, like, a lot of money because phones
really
are not cheap.
Yep, one little tap and then you've automatically downloaded the Spider-Man app.
What's the Spider-Man app?
It's when your screen is all cracked up.
Oh.
It looks like a web.
I used to have a LifeProof.
Oh, yeah.
One of those waterproof ones. That was the best case I've ever had.
Please tell me you threw it in water to, like, prove to someone that was waterproof.
You always do in the beginning. I did it in the beginning. Like, I have a video of me under the water, like, showing people at a pool with it. But then, like, after it gets old and, like, you've dropped it a few times, like, it gets cracked and, like, or, like, the case also, like, it's not, like, watertight. And I remember having a buddy that they kept putting in beer one night when we were out, and I was like, you gotta stop doing that. And then, like, I really had to, like, not let him do it the next time we hung out, because I knew that it would have really fucked up my phone, and he would have had to buy me a new one. But those were, like, $70 cases, but they're definitely worth it.
Yeah, they're, I mean, they keep your, you can, they increase the longevity of your phone.
Yeah,
by
no
years.
Doubt. No doubt. Cole was gonna review a movie for us.
We are going to review a movie.
All right, I saw it. I'll tell you what I think. I want you to review it.
Well, first of all,
I'll chime in.
Okay, this is how we're going to set this up.
The movie Birdman.
Yes, we are going to review Birdman, and yes, it has been out.
Birdman!
Yep.
Interrupting Cal. So we're going to review Birdman, and yes, it has been out for a while, but it's kind of running on a rolling release date. And what I mean by that, it's started off in really small, like New York. It started off in New York and L.A., and then it's expanding into more markets gradually as, like, the box office tallies go up and, like, as buzz goes around for award season. So what Birdman is, it's directed by a filmmaker named, oh, gosh, I can never pronounce his name right. I always have to see it. But it stars Michael Keaton, Zach Galifianakis. Who else is in it? Edward Norton, Emma Stone. And so what it's about is...
And also in this, I noticed that Emma Stone has fucking humongous eyes. That's all. Continue.
She does.
So you got from the movie?
She's very thin in the movie because she's like, I believe she's like coming
back
from rehab.
Drug addict.
But the director is Alejandro Gonzalez Iñárritu, and he directed such films as Babel, Amores Perros, and Beautiful.
I've never seen any of those.
You haven't seen any of those? Okay, well, they all run on this, like, arc where it's like three stories and everything, like, lines up into one. But this one isn't like that. Birdman is about... It's kind of like a mirrors Michael Keaton's career, and it's...
Yeah, was it making fun... Like, it constantly kind of felt like they were making fun of him for doing Batman.
Well, he plays a guy named Regan Thompson, and he starts this play after 20 years after the fact that he played a mega superhero called Birdman. And yes, we all know that Michael Keaton was famously played Batman. And so, yes, it is kind of a play on that, and it's him putting on this... putting on this Broadway show, and it kind of starts going down the tube. And so, but the whole conceit of the movie is it plays against his public persona. And so through that, they kind of talk about, like, it's kind of like a deconstruction of, like, mainstream media. Like, this movie is very cynical towards media because people are always trying to interview him, and it kind of has a very cynical outlook on
critics.
On all critics, all forms of media.
Did it hurt your feelings when he was saying things about
people? No, not at all. I thought it was actually kind of brilliant, man. It was...
It's a strange movie.
And the movie seems like it's all done in one take.
It is, isn't it?
No, I mean, there's no way. But they use tricks, and what those tricks are, I don't know.
The shots, when somebody walks down a hallway, they follow him, and then they break away from him and walk up the stairs and go to the other guy in the scene. And that was, so it looked literally like he just had a camera following people. And, like, at night, they'd go and face up towards the building, and you'd see the sun go up and back down, and then they'd move down.
Yeah, it was awesome, man. It's a lot to take in, and it's a very peculiar movie, and...
It was very artsy.
Yeah, it was very artsy, but I love movies that deal with ego, and I think it's a really fascinating topic to, and it's happened a lot this year. Maybe it's just because I've noticed it more. I don't know, but there's been a lot of films that have deconstructed this theme, and it turns out to be just, man, it's just really cool because you get to see like all these like different spectrum of emotions from Michael Keaton. And
well, one thing that I liked about it was like you always assume that the narrator is always telling you the truth,
right?
And like there's constantly times where you're like, wait, was he like leading me down like the wrong road, or like you're constantly kind of like arguing with yourself whether or not you should believe what he's telling you, or you should think like he's crazy or something. Like
yeah, that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
he does seem delusional at some points.
You
in the
don't
movie.
Really
you're
know
like, is this guy crazy or is. Is it really him telling the story, or
yeah? Is this play that he's doing? Is this really all gonna be worth it? Is this man just delusional? And it kind of turned. I mean, I'm not gonna spoil it, but like, I mean, he's not as crazy as, in my opinion, the way I took it is he's not as crazy as it seems. And
he seemed pretty crazy by the end of it.
Yeah, he did, but it seems like on the surface, yes, he's crazy, but the structure. And, like, the foundation of what he was trying to do was not a delusional. It was not a delusion. It was, like, I thought it was a very, like, cool idea. Like, his character, not Michael Keaton, the character of Regan Thompson, was, like, what he was trying to accomplish wasn't crazy, but it came from a place of pure ego and, like, being, like, like some sociopathic tendencies. What those are, I don't really know. But... Yeah, man. What he was doing, the creative work was good, but it wasn't. It came from a place of just pure ego, like on like trying to validate his own self and validate his own career. And he has a very good back and forth with Edward Norton. Man, they have some
Edward Norton's really good in it. And Zach Galifianakis. Like yeah. My girlfriend woke me up, had the day off the other day, and was like, "Hey, let's go see this Birdman movie. It's got Zach Galifianakis in it." And like, I had no idea what the movie was, and I was like, "Zach Galifianakis sold." And he still does exactly, like, that weird humor where, like, no matter if it's, like, a dramatic scene in the movie, he'll say, like, four or five things and you're just laughing. But, yeah, so that's it. That's what I have from it.
I mean...
What do you give it, stars-wise?
I don't know. It's really hard to grade that movie. I have a friend who gave it 4 stars out of 4. So I think it... Man, it...
How come some people give 4 stars and some people give 5 stars? Like, why are some things based on a 5-star...
Just a personal preference. Five star seems. I did a 5-star, a 5-star system for about a year and a half, and the past couple months I switched to 4-star, and I definitely prefer the 4-star. And it just depends on what the publication wants to do.
Okay, so what would you give it though?
Probably a good solid 3 out of 4, but that's also me being like, I
like you as a reviewer because you're like. I've yet to have you be like, I give it a 1 out of 4, because like you always are kind of like, I may not get it, but I feel like other people may like
there's
that's
merit.
Got a spot for it, and I think that's a cool thing about you because you're not just trying to be like, I'm better than that, and I know better things.
No, it's not like that. I mean, there are movies that I hate and I have given poor reviews, but yeah, this is a movie that you'll have to see it again to kind of get exactly what's going on with it, and there's a lot of merit to it, whether you like it or not. You know, there's a film critic that I follow in his site, and the very first line of his Birdman review was, Alejandro González Iñárritu is a pretentious fraud, and then it goes into like this whole like spiel about why this movie's pretentious and it's a piece of shit and stuff like that.
You're also talking about this movie and saying that it's like an Oscar.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Explain what you were. Explain what was the word you were using?
Oscar bait.
Oscar bait. Explain that to the average person.
Okay, this is pretty. I'm actually writing a, like, as of today, I've been writing a piece about Oscar bait and is it a friend or foe? And so the definition I have of Oscar bait is, well, if I could get my.
Is it related to masturbate?
It seems like it could be.
No, it's not.
Oh.
Okay. So what an Oscar bait is, studios acquire a prestigious property. They attach acting heavyweights in principal roles and present the film in one effervescent package in the clever disguise of an elite movie. And so some of these movies actually aren't elite and aren't good, and you can tell that they're just being released to get awards nominations, which will also yield a positive box office return based upon those receipts. But, I mean, there's also some movies that are good. This is a movie that is going to get a lot of awards attention. And there's also movies that are coming out.
But why the, like, how is that movie going to, like, what specifically? Just because it was, like, super artsy? And
yeah, because,
like,
oh, that,
that's different.
Because it broke convention and whatnot. And so, yeah, and it's also, like, a return to form for Michael Keaton. And then it's a good excuse to say that, oh, this is an Oscar-worthy. Do I think, is it going to be in my top 10 movies of the year? Absolutely not. I thought it was a very good and very commendable effort, but I don't, you know, there's just certain movies that come out that are, I mean, I can go into several movies that I've pointed out that have really gotten on my nerves this year.
Tickle With Me Too?
Oh, that's not an awards movie, and that was last year.
So no.
There's a movie coming out, it's actually out now, called The Theory of Everything, about Stephen Hawking and, like, the
world. Interstellar, that's Oscar bait.
No, it's not.
It's not going to win anything?
Maybe for effects, but the Theory of Everything is just, it's kind of like he's going to play this character where he is playing somebody with disabilities and whatnot, and you can clearly tell that they're just going for Oscars. So, that's what I think.
Oh, because everybody likes a good old disabled story, don't they?
I think it's kind of just played out, but yeah, sure.
So 3 out of 4?
Sure.
That works.
3 out of 4.
That works. You know what time that makes it right now, guys?
Questions for answers?
No, answers.
It's just called answers.
It's just called answers.
I don't know why you consistently...
Questions for answers is something you do on your car on your sad ride home.
Or something you do when you're sending it to us.
I know. I'm just kidding, Cole. Jesus, don't make that face.
I wasn't making any face.
He was probably checking the Tinderverse.
Oh, he's doing it. Look at that face he's doing. Look at it.
On my
that one.
Google picture?
Maybe.
No, your face. On your face right now.
I have no clue what you're talking
about. I mentioned Tinder, and I have some exciting announcements, or an exciting announcement, and that's that we've got a guy named Ryan Sullivan who is going to start occasionally doing segments on the show called Tales from the Tinder Vault, since Cole won't do this.
Nope.
Ryan likes to go on random dates with these girls and just kind of try and make things awkward, and he'll tell us about it, and it's pretty funny. He was giving me some stories, and that's why I agreed to let him do that. And so maybe next week or the next couple of weeks, he'll start getting into that. I think Curtis stepped away, it looks like. But Cole and I are just gonna hop right into answers.
Well, that's fine. This is my favorite portion of the show, so
I think it's pretty fun. Oh, here he goes. He's putting the headphones back on.
That's so
damn it. Damn you.
Yeah, burned.
Damn you. Damn. All right.
This one is from Alicia McCarthy, and she says, "What is the worst way to propose to someone?" Immediately, my first answer would be at a ball game.
Strip club.
Strip club probably beats ball game.
Yeah, but I think a ball game is just really cheesy.
I think it's cool.
And overdone.
I think it's sweet.
Not if it's, like, really done out and, like, on the scoreboard and people are around you. Now, the problem with doing a ball game is if it backfires, everyone will fucking
laugh. But I feel like you just pressure her into having to say yes at a ball game.
That's a good point. Yeah, I wouldn't do it that way. I would do it on, like, a pier or something like that, by a body of water.
Yeah?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So you could push her in if she said no.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't think she would.
I would have a picnic and then bring some honey and spell out, "Will you marry me?" And then all the ants will go all over the honey, and then she'll be like, "Oh my gosh." And then they'll bring in the ring.
That's so sweet.
But then you gotta worry about bears.
That's
And bees.
Valid point. Valid point.
And bees.
What would your worst one be, Curtis?
I don't know. I like ball game. I like that one.
Oh, you have to say something original.
Does he?
I guess not.
Maybe his answer.
On an airplane. Because if they say no, you're stuck to them for the next however long.
But you've seen The Wedding Singer.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
And I mean, actually, I don't know. Technically,
that was proposal. Different.
That was him serenading her. So I guess there's a lot of different rules. But I would say that the cheesiest and like most overdone one, well, not most overdone, but like hugely overdone, is at a baseball game. Because it's like, oh, really? You just thought of that? That's cool. No one else has done that. That's a unique story.
Yeah.
Because it's not like everybody's like, well, I was at this baseball game and this couple proposed and it was just so sweet.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Baseball game and strip club.
Okay.
Airplane.
What else we got?
Greg Stephanakis says, why haven't numerical sexual positions taken off? Like, besides 69ing, we have nothing.
Well, 69 makes sense. Yeah. Because of the way the body's formed in that sexual act.
Yeah.
You can't really have, like, a 70. That's like a person, like, forming an O and another person forming a 7.
Yeah,
well, I guess you could have one-on-one.
Yeah, or, like, butt-to-butt would be, like, 88,
10. No, it'd be a 9 and 6.
Yeah, I guess so. It'd just be more kind of like two people sleeping on the same side of the bed, but, like, facing, like, with their backs to each other.
Yeah.
Maybe a 96.
The opposite of spooning.
Yeah, I mean, a 55, maybe, would be a good one.
You were saying you had one that you thought could be...
70. And he just debunked it.
Wait, why did you think 70 could be one?
Well, I had it completely wrong. I had the 7 upside down. And it just wasn't.
Yeah, I think, you see, what makes 69 so successful is that, you know, a 6 and a 9 are pretty much the exact opposite number.
40,
and there's not a lot of numbers 30. That have an exact opposite of it where you could possibly use that as, like, a sexual
67 thing. Could be one.
Like a dick and
a vagina. Like a guy getting blown.
Yeah.
The girl's on her knees.
Ah, there you go. Yeah. So you'd be like, I got a 67.
Yeah.
I think getting blown sounds better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really vulgar.
Oh, stop it. With so the vulgar. Yeah. The vulgar alerts.
I would it's like vulgar to read this and childish. Question. Huh?
I would like to read this question.
All right.
This next question.
Go ahead.
Eskimos, --, the chili Amish.
I think you're onto something there. That's actually from Samantha Harvey.
Ah, sorry, Samantha.
She's a repeat questionnaire. Yes. And I think this is her third or fourth time making it on the show. So good to have you back, Samantha. Thanks for listening. That's actually a fucking killer one right there, too, because very similar. They're kind of off to themselves, isolated from the rest of the population.
Yeah, it's like a Nanook of the North type situation.
Like, they're like frozen Amish, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, or chili Amish, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, their values exactly aren't based in religion, are they? I think it's more based upon, like, culture.
Above, like, yeah, it's like based on, like, strictly. Ice fishing, I think.
Yeah, ice fishing and 47 different words for snow.
Do they have 47 different words for
There's
snow?
There's a lot. I think it's, like, 13.
And Eskimos.
I still think it's a fantastic feat that they can make igloos.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I had the opportunity to live in an igloo for a period of days, I would totally.
I would not ever.
Not like if you were like, hey, this is your house. I'd be like, I'll stay there for 2 days.
Are you familiar with Nanook of the North?
No.
Well, you should check it out.
What is it?
And that's real true.
What is it? It's a movie? Oh, yeah,
it's a documentary from 1922.
From 1922? That's so long ago. It's 2014. It's not even the same century.
Nope. Well,
is it?
Neither was Independence Day. People still watch that movie.
Yeah, well, Independence Day is historical.
This is more historical. Yeah, Nanook of the North is just about, like, a Canadian guy that just goes to live in northern Quebec around a bunch of different...
Quebec.
Not Quebec.
I said Quebec.
It's Quebec.
Don't say you're that. Both wrong. It's Quebec.
I said Quebec.
Quebec. Quebec.
It's actually Quebec.
We're not answering her question.
It's like Quebec with a K. Quebec.
Well, I'm trying to explain how this movie relates to...
Well, isn't Eskimos like the... Like, it's a racist term. They do not want to be called... Yes. They do not want to be called...
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Are you sure, Cole? How do you know? How do you know all the Eskimo culture?
I don't... It's, they're supposed to be called Inuit. Like, Intuit minus the first T. Inuit.
Okay. Well, anyway. Okay. Well, I won't explain my...
Eskimo is a racist term.
Are we moving on then?
Sure.
Oh, we want to get one more question. What were you going to say?
I was just going to go on a spiel about Nanook of the North, but nobody gives a shit about it.
Well, it's just a movie, though.
Well, I was going to talk about the values and how they display their values.
Oh, okay, well, then go into it.
No, we've already... Okay, well, so anyway...
It's out of 100% on Rotten
Tomatoes?
Yeah,
it's 100%. It's a really good movie. It's from 1922, though, so it's old. It's a silent film. And so what it is...
a silent film? Ugh.
It shows how they build igloos and all this guy living with them and stuff like that. And yeah, these situations were kind of acted out in certain ways. Like the director, Robert Flaherty, would tell Nanook and his family to, okay, build an igloo. Okay, we want to see you do this. But like, there's also a candid scene of them actually catching a whale. And they're fishing for a whale and they catch him. And so it just kind of shows like...
What kind of whale?
Huh?
What kind of whale?
Just for the sake of the podcast, a sperm whale.
There's actually probably an orca.
And so, anyway. Anyway, yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, I think that they kind of are a chillier version of the... I think that's actually a pretty good connection.
That's fucking spot on.
It actually is.
Samantha Harvey, you're my favorite question writer.
Yeah, that was good. Who like the fuck is Cole? It's better than that
one. You come in here, you just deliver the questions that people want to answer. You know, we don't always want to answer every question, but right. You make it easy.
And I don't want to answer any of the questions.
I thank you. Well, you're going to have to, because Jackson Detant, I believe, Detant, that's how you pronounce his name.
It's Detant, actually.
Okay. Jackson says, what is your worst one-night stand experience? Does anybody want to start off?
Nope.
I have bad after the fact, I guess, the one time, this doesn't happen often, like I say one time, like it was like,
this one time.
I had few, and two of them were bad. Like, we finished, and the girl was like, all right, well, you got to go. And she drove me to her house. I didn't have a vehicle.
Okay.
And I'm like, what do you mean you got to go? Can you give me a ride in my car? She's like, no, you just got to go. And kicked me out of her house, and I had to call a friend while walking on the road.
Oh, I've actually had a similar sort of happening.
Yeah,
you had the deed. The deed was done, though, right?
Cause yes. Like,
for a one night stand to count, the deed has to be done.
Yeah,
the deed was done.
So, all right. So my one night stand, horrible one, was I think it was 2009. Was when Russell Brand first hosted the MTV VMAs.
Very specific.
No, this is a very specific part of the story.
Oh, now I remember that time period.
And. So I was watching it like, I bet you bitches just love dudes with British accents. And so I started like working on a British accent for a day and then went out to the bar and was like, I'm just going to pick up a chick talking like a British guy. And I totally like got this dumb chick to buy into it. And we hung out and got drunk and like we went back to her place and got really, really, really drunk and then hooked up. And then afterwards she was talking to me and I totally forgot that I was using the accent. Like, just, I forgot that I had been. And then Alex talked. And then, like, immediately, like, you could, like, she asked me a question. I can't remember exactly what I said, but I used my regular voice. And then I just remember, like, turning around and be like, like, she knew. And she was like, holy shit. Get up! Get up!
And that's a true story.
Yeah. And I was, like, I lived in Huntsville, Texas, and I was, like, the other side of Huntsville, Texas, from my dorm. Like, she was in an apartment close to the bar we were at, and I just was like walking home, and it was like 4:30 in the morning. It was really cold. That was fun. So basically, the moral of the story is don't pretend to use a British accent to pick up girls if you can't follow through the whole time after intercourse. Because that, you still got to play it, or else they won't give you a ride back.
I got one more before.
Go ahead. Dude, yeah, this is a good topic. I kind of like things like this.
You can take my place.
So this also had, this is next day.
Well, you get to share it too, don't worry.
It was a nice young lady. And then she woke me up. She's like, hey, I got to go to a job interview. I'll drop you off afterwards. I was like, oh, okay. I'm wearing flip-flops, shorts, and a busted-ass hoodie. And she's like interviewing at this like elementary school to be like a teacher. Or like not a teacher, but like...
She got some... yes. Dude at a bar banged yes. him and then is like, I'm going to go teach kids.
And so... So I was sitting at the start. My hair was greasy. It was dirty. And I sat at the Starbucks for like an hour and a half and waited for her. Like, and everyone else, like, this was like 10 o'clock on a Tuesday. Like, people were like coming in for morning coffee, like dressed in business attire.
Going to work.
Yes, going to work. I'm just sitting there like, I have no, my phone's dead. I'm just sitting there.
Oh, that sucks. Coffee. A dead phone by yourself.
Yeah. I'm just sitting in there, like, I'm tired, too. And then she gets out. And
how long was she in there for, though?
Like an hour, hour and a half.
Oh, my God, that's brutal.
Just sitting there like this. Just,
do they have a TV or anything?
No, it's Starbucks. They don't have TVs. They have music.
Oh, yeah, that's shit. I figured maybe you could have caught, like, CNN or something.
I wish. Fuck, I'd watch C-SPAN.
You know what's the worst? Like, when you go to, like, a coffee shop or, like, any place where you're, like, sitting down and there's a TV... Like, when you're watching, like, I was doing this when I was at the car insurance place the other day, and I was just sitting there waiting for them to come get me and take me to go get my car, and they had the CNN thing on, and, like, you fucking hate it when you get to the point to where it's the loop, and it re-loops again.
Yeah.
Like, God damn it, I'm done with new news. That's nothing I haven't seen now. And they're like, oh, what, they found another body? Found a body in the Hudson River again? All right, tell me more
that's
about
like
that.
Sports Center, like
with Sports Center. Yeah. Like, but with Sports Center though, like I honestly continuously just watch it because I'm retarded and don't.
Yeah.
Until they bring on Marty Smith.
Fucking Marty Smith is my favorite guy on Sports Center. The like the redneck worst. Guy from Charlotte, and then like occasionally they'll have something that happens with the Charlotte Hornets, and they're like, "Well, Marty Smith, you're in Charlotte, go do it."
He's typically the NASCAR guy.
He's the NASCAR and Charlotte Hornets guy.
Oh, he does Charlotte Hornets. Okay.
When they don't have anybody else to do Charlotte Hornets.
I mean, like, look at his...
I'm Mark Smith, here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Michael Jordan, the owner of the Hornets, wanted to let everybody know that everybody is going to show up for their game where they're purple.
He has a lot of Twitter followers.
Yeah, because there's a lot of NASCAR people who are like, ah, Marty Smith, NASCAR, woohoo, Jim Gordon!
Gosh. He's on the Marty Smith podcast. Oh, God.
I bet it's good. Great, too.
Whatever, man.
All right, well, you... have neglected to tell us a one-night stand.
Yeah, you're not getting off that easy.
Ah, you son of a bitch.
I don't have any.
It's actually the final part of your interview.
Oh, okay. All right, so as none of you know, I was in a fraternity in college.
Okay.
Okay, so met a girl who went to a different school, and she was at one of our parties, and I hooked up with her. And
nice.
Way to go, cool.
Nice. I mean, this is just the first one that comes to my head. I really don't do one night stands. Really, it's not really my thing.
You have though.
I mean, I have, but this isn't like an epic story. Point was is so I hooked up with her in a bathroom closet, or like a
bathroom closet,
or like a
yeah. What kind of house are you staying at?
Well, not a bathroom.
Like a janitorial closet.
Yeah, something like that. A janitorial closet. And there was a bunch of fraternity guys banging outside the door, being like, "Woo!" Like, you know, cheering me on or whatever. And I was just like, "This is so." And as you guys can tell, I'm very like, whatever about that fact. I'm very annoyed.
Were you still doing it though?
Huh?
You were into it when it was happening.
I was like, I was annoyed by that fact. I'm a very private person.
But you wanted to get your nut.
I'm not gonna word it like that.
Yeah, but you wanted to get.
I was inebriated and I wanted to hook up with this girl.
So you fucked in a janitor's closet.
Was she the janitor?
No, she's just a very pretty girl. And so she gets my glasses. She takes my glasses off and she throws them under a door. And so my glasses are gone. Like there's like a space, you know, the space.
So you stuck your dick in crazy.
No, she just takes them off and tosses them, and so anyway, so I texted her the next day, and I said, that was really fun. And I said, would you want to do something again this weekend? And she goes, nope, have a nice life.
Like, oh,
verbatim. And like, I wasn't
You fucking me in a closet in front of all of your friends.
I wasn't like
probably
hurt
embarrassing
by that.
Me the next day.
I wasn't hurt by that. Don't want to see it again. I was just shocked by this girl completely owning like what happened. She's like, yeah, we just hooked up. That was it. Bye.
But that's like the most blunt way to cut it off.
Yeah.
But like that's the worst feeling in the world when like a girl's just like,
Yeah.
No.
Like, oh, no, thank you. No,
and you're like, ah, damn. But like,
shut the gates. Get out of here.
That's way better than like the girl that's like, yeah, I guess. And like you like fuck her or whatever like four or five more times and you start like getting used to it. And then it's just like she just doesn't ever talk to you again.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I mean, she lived in a different state. So she was, but she was just there visiting family for the weekend. She had a friend who like was, you know, a friend of a friend.
Those are always the best, though.
It was cool, man. I mean,
she
was
to get in there,
girl.
You don't have to worry about him afterwards. Boom,
Alex.
It
wasn't even that. I just thought she was really pretty.
I have a funny story about Alex.
What? Why don't you share it?
Yeah, so anyway. Well, now we're closing up our answer segment now.
I have a funny story.
Is this a one-hour story?
No, it involves you being in a bedroom and people banging on the door.
Oh,
hell.
Oh. tell the story.
So, I don't remember how...
It was
a party of some sort.
It was a St. Patrick's Day party, I believe.
Yes, and Alex and his girlfriend had snuck away to the to a bedroom, but I saw. So
Curtis saw.
So me and three other people go start banging on the door, and I believe he had not had any sexual relations with this person before, and he was finally about to get it, if I may. And
you could say she may.
As Alex's words, as we were banging on the door, Alex said, she looked at me and just said, well, we can't do this. Why don't you just go out there? Then Alex proceeds to run out shirtless and try to start fights with people. He gets slammed on the floor by a guy that wasn't even part of it. He was just drinking a beer by himself.
Well, I tackled one of our friends, and then he had some beef with somebody else who capitalized on that opportunity, and in our scuffle, picked up my friend and then
started wailing on
him. Shit. And then I felt horrible.
Just cold cocked him like three times.
Like when you're in a fight with somebody else and like rolling around like punching and shit. Mm-hmm. And then like literally I just see him get lifted up by his hair and just like face smash.
And it was... To be honest, he was having sex with that guy's girlfriend.
Right, and he did find
probably
out.
Probably did deserve that.
He was kind of being an asshole.
No, he was.
And honestly,
Now that I look back on it,
yeah, like, if you think about it, like, between banging on the door and fucking that guy's girlfriend, that night, that guy was just begging for something to happen.
He wasn't even banging on the door. He was in the back just kind of watching, not really saying anything. And he was an innocent bystander who just got fucked over twice in, like, less than a minute. Just had his, like, fucking day
ruined. But, like, you could see, like, he was like, oh, he got him? Oh, shit, that's that dude. And then, bam!
And then he ran out.
So yeah, that was a fun little interesting story.
Yep, ass kicking.
Cole wasn't amused by it.
Well, I don't really understand the story, so.
Because you weren't listening, because you were doing a million other things on your computer, weren't you?
I mean, I understood.
Sometimes it's nice to participate, Cole.
I do participate.
Well, why don't you guys follow us on Twitter, at PassTheGravyPod for the show. You can follow me, at 790AlexM, at Curtis Chafin for... Curtis Chafin, and at Words by Cole for Cole Clay.
For everything negative, follow Words by Cole.
Yeah.
Your Twitter handle should be Negative Nancy.
It's actually, my Twitter's not negative.
It could be.
It's not.
Well, go on iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. Share us with a friend. Tell them how great it is.
5-star rating. Give it to us.
Fuck that. Give us whatever rating you think we deserve.
Well, rate us, because if you get more ratings, then we show up more on the...
Hell yeah.
...the listened-to list, so... Yeah. And, pass the gravy, bitches.
Pass it!
Pass the cranberry sauce. Grab a mashed potato. Oh, the turkey looks green. You know what? Thank you for loving me. Thank you for being there. Thank you for loving me. Everyone's thanking, the whole world's thanking you, thanking us for thanking you. Kill, 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 kill the turkey. Kill the turkey.